We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Of course, Jess Hilarious is here.
Yes, indeed.
And we got a special guest in the building, Dion Cole.
Hello, hello, hello.
How you feeling, my brother?
How's everybody doing? Everybody good? Everybody
that's black good. And highly favored,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
I'm happy to see you. I'm happy to see you.
I'm so happy to see
thank
you as well.
Yeah, y'all know each other?
Thank God for coming. Yeah.
What you mean they stand up comedy?
I'm just joking, man.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah, definitely, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. A lot to talk about. You got Average Joe. You ain't, aren't you in, you're in the New Color Purple, too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, yeah. New Color Purple, Average Joe.
We just talked about that yesterday. We were talking about they just released a trailer. And what's your thoughts on the movie? Because we were like, Color Purple, is that a movie that you do over?
Hard to remake classics, man.
Yeah.
So the director, Blizz, I don't know, he did Beyonce's, remember when she was doing like The Lion King, where she was like, Hunt Jay, they was like,
The live action Lion King.
Yeah, but remember this video she had? It was like a 20-minute video where she was like in cars and on the beach running, and her and Jay had these like suits and stuff on or whatever. It was like very beautifully shot.
Oh, ape shit.
Yeah, yeah, all of that. Ape yeah, shit. Yeah. He directed all of that. Mm-hmm. And so for him to take that vision and apply it to this movie is like bananas. Plus, it's a different spin on it. It's a whole different spin on A Color Purple, so it's gonna be way different than the other one, but still in its own right, you know, holding up to what it is. But I ain't really big on remakes neither like that, but this one, yo, is crazy because it's a different perspective.
That's what I was saying. In 2023, you can't do Color Purple. You have to be, it have to be woke.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much
it's a whole different look on it, whole different spin
on
it.
But you know, some of the remakes are like, I didn't like Coming to America too, right? I just, the first one was just classic. I don't think you touched that one.
Yeah.
I didn't like, there was another remake that they did, but people told me White Man Can't Jump. I didn't want to go see that, but people telling me it's really, really good. So I guess it can, if they come from a different perspective, a new way. Oh, House Party was the another one I didn't like. I thought I didn't really like that one, but when they do it from a different perspective or shot well, I don't think there's a problem with it.
Who you playing?
Yeah. I play Alfonso. So I play Celie's father.
Gotcha. Oh, that's the one that said, you take Celie. You can't have, I can't remember the girl name. You can't have her, but you can have Celie.
Yeah, okay.
She ugly, but she work hard.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. I play him.
They kept that line in there?
Nah, it's different.
All right.
Yeah, but you know, you still get it. You know, he's still that dude.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You still call her ugly, just in a 2023
way. In a woke way.
Do you hate that? Do you hate having to adjust like your content because of this new era?
I mean, I do hate it, definitely. That's why I don't understand why people who don't like that kind of stuff. Like, why do you even come to the shows? Mm-hmm. You're messing it up for the people that really pay to come see and hear bullshit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, why would you come in there with your beliefs and feelings about something that I thought of? And you ain't in my world. You ain't in my tax bracket. You ain't around the people I'm around. You ain't not about my culture. But you come over here and try to tell me what I need to be saying and doing. It don't even make sense.
Yeah.
So, I hate that we have to kind of conform to that. And I heard somebody say that in an interview, that we don't, and it's not a problem, and it is a problem.
No,
I think, honestly, you got Lenny Bruce and Richard and all these people who stood up for us to be able to say whatever we want to say, and now we can't. It's like, it's crazy. You take away from the whole thing. It's like now you go to comedy shows and they tell you what they think you want to hear in order to be safe.
Right.
You know what I mean? But there's certain comics that are still out on the front line that get loose, you know, like Dave and just don't give a fuck about nothing, you know. So you got great comics that's still out here fighting for that voice that we all have and that people want to hear, except for certain people that don't. So.
And your circumstance is unique because you definitely edgy on stage, but then you got all the corporate shit going on.
Yeah.
The Old Spice endorsement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sitcoms and all that.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I can't say exactly what I want to say.
Like,
I mean, see, that's my whole life, sitting back trying to figure out another way. That's all I do. I'd be like, how can I say this another way and still be able to say it? But you know,
it's wild. You the face of Old Spice, bro.
Crazy. Yeah.
Like that's why, if you really think about it,
it's really wild. It's
been
like
a long time.
I only think of two people: Dion Cole and the dude who used to ride the horseback with.
He was on the horse. It's crazy, right?
Which is like, crazy.
Yeah, I couldn't even when they came to me about it, I was just like, wow.
So when they came
to
you and said, hey, we want you to do this Old Spice commercial and be the face, what was your thought?
So at first they came to me and they was like, I guess they had seen me do all these different kind of like quirky like characters, like on Angie Tribeca and Conan and Blackish, and I was doing all these like trippy characters, and I guess they was like, yo, it made sense, where it was like, yo, you come in and yo, we can rock. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. So they flew me to Portugal, man, and I shot all of this, basically how Old Spice get down, you know what I mean? Like really wild in the woods, your beard grow and throwing trees, and you know, I did all of that, and then I came back to the U.S. and they was like, they ain't want to use none of that.
So you did all that, they
did all of that, and then they used none of it. And then they came to me about something else, and then me and this other guy, we was just sitting. I mean, this other guy, he was writing this whole new premise, And then when he came to me about it, and I was like, man, that's cool. And so we did it, and man, it took off.
Yeah.
You know, just me and my girl Gab.
Yep, I love it.
Yo, yeah, yeah. We just got it in. Yeah, I went and grabbed Gab and was like, yeah, they're thinking about this thing where it's a relationship and it's a couple and trying to take your Old Spice. And, you know, they was like, yeah, let's do it. And man, we did it, and
because it's a storyline commercial.
Yeah, it's a storyline.
And I was supposed to be in one of them. I was supposed to be your little sister. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I was supposed to be his little sister. Yeah, man.
Tell the truth.
I'm being serious. Wow. I auditioned and all that, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, they picked Lala Anthony.
You were more like Deion's sister than Lala.
Yeah. I did.
I didn't know Lala was supposed to be your sister in the commercial. I never thought about that.
I never even knew that.
It seemed like Lala was a family member. Yeah, yeah.
And it was another person he was supposed to tell me, get your black ass hands off my something, right? And they gave it to somebody else.
They never would have said that. Get your black ass hands off my Old Spice.
I cut the TV off every time I see that shit, man. I be like, man, that's supposed to be me. I'm serious. I was supposed to be his little. Don't take nothing. I say serious. I was supposed to be.
Because you're always supposed to almost be something.
All right, I got a question. Okay.
I ain't even know that.
Yeah, for real. They ain't going to tell you. You know, you were at the top.
That's dope.
So I want to know, are you Dr. Deion Cole now? Because I saw you just, you know,
yeah,
honored.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if somebody on the plane holler out they need a doctor, they're gonna be ass out, but it ain't that kind of okay. doctor. But yeah, I just got that. Just got an honorary doctor.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's crazy. Philander Smith College, which is now about to be university. Yeah, thanks, man.
And they honored you for all the work that you did and everything?
Yeah, absolutely. And
Charlamagne paid for his.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
I got an endowment at South Carolina State University.
Okay.
Made me an honorary doctor.
Yeah, well, there it is.
And I get a commencement speech.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah. It was wild. I gave mine. They really didn't give two fucks of what I was saying over it. I thought I was dropping some gems, yo. They was all sitting out there on their phone and shit. Like, they was out there like this.
They might have been taking notes.
Yeah, they might have been taking notes.
I don't think so, yo.
Do you keep going when you see that? Do you cut it
man,
short?
Man, I was bombing, like for real. Like I was giving it, and then it'd be like a couple chuckles, couple coughs, and then I just keep going, just going on to the next topic or whatever. But yeah, it wasn't. I was thinking I was doing like stand up. You think you're in front of an audience like that? You're about to be ripping.
Yeah.
Nah, they was out there I want to see my baby cross and get her degree, and that's what I'm here for.
But that stand up muscle don't kick in when you see people like ignoring you, because you know you'd heckle, you'd get at somebody for that.
I'm quick to leave. I leave like a motherfucker. I done left some shows, Joe.
Really? In the middle of the show?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I try it and I keep going. If it ain't working, I just know that I ain't for them.
That's it.
And I go, I'm Trevor. Good night.
Yeah.
I leave on a whole nother name.
I'm
Sean. Peace out. Nashville. Like, this suck. He suck.
No. You know, Dan, you got to be one of the most jacked comedians, too, because sometimes I'll come across a funny meme.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll just be words,
mm-hmm.
and I'll repost it, and then everybody be like, that's Deion Cole. That's Deion Cole. Like, I didn't know that was Deion. I'm supposed to know this is Deion. This is a meme.
Yeah, man. You try to be different and just think outside the box all the time and just try to make a career out of that and just try to always go left,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, think outside the box and, you know, just keep it as real as possible. You know, like when I'm on stage and I read off my paper, like a lot of those jokes are written and used, but I always do one joke that I've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want it not to work. Because it's funny not being funny, in a sense.
Yes.
I think I made a craft out of that. Just, you ever watch somebody bomb?
I love it.
Yeah.
You love it, don't you?
I say that all the time. If you see me laughing hard, it's because somebody bombed.
Yeah,
if somebody's killing, I'm really engaged. Like,
yeah. Like, I'm like that too.
It's
like
hilarious with that.
Yeah.
I want to go see him one time. I know this is his interview and not mine. But I want to go see him in L.A., And that's the first time I seen him in person. And he does that. Like, he will tell a joke, and it's so funny because he wants it not to work, but it does. And it's like, yo, stop trying to not be funny. Like, you can't, you're just funny. Like, and then he said one that he really thought wasn't gonna work, and it was like a couple chuckles, and he was like, no, if it don't work, don't force the laugh. Like, yeah, no, you don't have to force the laugh. That was so funny to me. Just seeing him doing that and then seeing it done so long ago when I first started watching comedy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. He still does it, and it's still like the first time
that I watched it. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's because people tend to forget it's about laughing.
Yeah.
It ain't how you laugh. Mm-hmm. It's about you laughing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not here to have you laugh or particular way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like you're laughing. If you laugh at anything I do, it's funny, but I think it's funny not being funny, so I make sure I do a joke that does not work. Mm-hmm. And so people will laugh at it, and it's funny to me to hear people laugh at it. And then when they do laugh at it, it's just like I really know that I got that audience. Uh-huh. You know, but when they don't laugh, yes.
When did you first realize you was funny? Like, I'm talking about, forget comedy, I'm talking about back in the day. Like,
I never did. It was a friend of mine's dude named Guel. Like, we was on some ill shit in Chicago. And, you know, I never even thought comedy, but he used to always listen to me just have different outtakes on things and different views. And he would just always be like, you should do comedy. And I used to be like, I ain't doing no goddamn comedy. And one day he bet me to go on stage, and I went on and never looked back, because I started realizing, because I always thought comics was like, you know, slipping on bananas and pie to the face type motherfuckers. And, you know, then I realized that there's comedians. Then after I did it, I started doing research, and I started seeing like George Carlin and then Ellen DeGeneres and all these other great comics that were like, you know, I've obviously I knew about Red Fox and, you know, Mobbs Mabley and all them or whatever, but I started seeing comedians that wasn't throwing pies in their faces, who was just standing there talking. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you can be funny like that and not move?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, because that was my whole demeanor anyway. Like, I wasn't like no... People come up to me this day I went to high school with. They're like, boy, you were silly as hell in high school. I'd be like, I didn't even speak to you in high school. Like, I wasn't silly in high school. Like, right. I wasn't even silly in school. Yeah. I used to just be quiet. I was always a thinker, being the only child, you know? So, that's when it was.
You're a writer as well.
Yeah.
So how was the writing strike affecting you, especially with you being on all these shows as well?
Man, just, you can't do nothing.
Yeah. Nothing.
I'm shooting this, I was doing this thing up in Toronto, and the script was already in, so we working on it now, shooting this drama, and I had a question, and there was nobody to talk to.
So what happens in that case? Could you just change the script yourself?
No, you just go however you need to go about it, you know, but hopefully you do it right, you know, but it ain't nobody to talk to. All the writers gone, everybody's gone, and I can't. Even shows that I had on deck to, you know, like about to sail and about to do, like, they all been halted and can't do nothing. Just chill and stand up. You know, that's it. Just go out and hit the road or whatever, because everybody chilling. And L.A. right now, if you come to L.A. right now, is mad traffic, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't go nowhere because everybody's off work.
Yeah.
And everybody's just kicking it now. Like, all the writers and shit, they everybody just partying and traveling. But the traffic is terrible right now because everybody, ain't nobody at work.
How do you feel like AI is going to impact the future of Hollywood?
Yo, I went to AI and I said, hey, just to like mess around, I said, write a script about ladybugs. And that shit started off like in the backyard of this one house over on the corner of in Maryland. The trees are growing. They wrote it. It was writing an entire script about ladybugs.
And that's all you said to it.
That's all I said to it. Wrote the entire script. I wrote the breakdown, first thing in the morning, exit, inserts. Like, just wrote that motherfucker to it. I was like, yo, that's crazy. But yeah, that's gonna really mess up everything right now. I heard that they doing this now where they calling people, and if you pick up the phone, you go, hello.
It's your kids.
No, they get your voice, take your voice, and then reduplicate it.
Yeah, and that's
and
how
then
they get
use
people.
It to call other people or and say like they you need money and all that other stuff. So,
oh yeah, they was doing that with kids too. Like they'll call your phone, and I guess they get your kid's voice from social media, and your kid be like, "Help, help, mommy, help, help!" Yeah. And they ask you for ransom money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what they wow, doing with that shit now. It's crazy as fuck right now, right? So it's like. It's like, yeah, that AI is going to it's going to tear everything up. On top of everybody being like kind of dumb as hell right now.
Yeah,
you see, kind
of. You see that? You see that? I posted this video about these kids. They cannot read clocks. Did you see that?
No.
Like a round clock with numbers? Yeah, yeah. They do not know how to read clocks.
Wow.
But then you start thinking about it. Am I old or are they like dumb? Like,
yeah, they
a little bit of both.
It's a little. But
a
look,
little bit of both.
It's they are so they don't have clocks.
How old were they?
They was like teenagers.
Oh, that's stupid.
But now, look, they honestly was on there like this. I ain't never even seen one of those.
A round clock,
dude. They was trying.
Think about it. We don't really see them. You see digital clocks and just, little round clocks. I'll take it a step further. I was talking to somebody that was late the other day, and he was like, "My phone died." And what you don't think about. You know, everything's connected to electricity. Back in the day, I don't know, but my dad used to have a wind-up clock.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, it would always go off. He never would have to worry about being late. Yeah. Electricity went out or forget to save it. So he was like, these kids know nothing about that. So if the phone dies, they late. Mm-hmm.
They don't, they have no idea.
Yeah,
they was on there like, it's 9:76. Like
what?
Dude, they was trying to figure out the time. The dude was like holding the clock, and he was like, "What time is this?" And they was like 9:76.
And this is in America.
Yo. But it had me thinking, like, man, we old as hell. Nobody knows how to read clocks.
No, it's just things get out of you just get out of touch with things. I mean, because honestly, just
clocks.
I have clocks all over my house, but I don't tell time on them.
They wear them
I
on
don't.
Their wrist too,
I know what
and
they
don't
are,
set the time on their wrist. They just flood them out.
Listen,
they just
flood I wear this Cartier because it's nice. And I'm not about to. What time it is? I'm gonna be like 10:15. I'm never. It's my watch face. Stop playing with me.
I ain't doing
no time. Oh, yeah, you ain't gonna be able to tell.
Chris should say 3:00.
For real?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's why I
say
I'll say
3:00.
Yes,
and I can say like 2:57.
So that has nothing to do with being crazy. We just got away from that.
Yeah, think about it. People don't necessarily buy watches for time now. It's more for as an accessory. Because when somebody says, what time is it? What's the first thing you do? You go pull out your phone
look
and be
at
like,
your phone.
Oh, it's 10:15.
Dude. If I got a nice watch on, I'm going to show that motherfuckers.
It's so wild. You got to pay attention to that shit. Like, straight up. Like, it'd be little shit like that that you'd be like, whoa, the world changing. Like right now, I'm looking at your face. You over there like, damn. Like,
even with navigation.
Oh, I thought you talking about his face change because he got a nose job.
No.
I didn't get a nose job. I removed some polyps from my nose. They didn't touch my nose. But even navigation, think about navigation. Right? Now, if I'm driving around, I can know where my house is. I still put it in navigation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say that the Waze app don't work or Google Maps don't work. I'd be lost. I'd be like, where am I going?
Right.
Gone. Right. And ain't no way to get there. Unless you like a lot of old people, they still be carrying maps
at
and
MapQuest and stuff like that. I know people that still, well, they're older, obviously, but people that still print off directions. But I think you rely on it because I do the same thing. We just rely on it because we know we got it. If you ever just try to get home, you would get there.
No, I'm not talking about home, but like other places. Like, let's say you got to go from Baltimore here, right?
Yeah.
And you know you got to take 95 to the turnpike, to through the tunnel. Now you ain't got no navigation. You're going to be like, damn, which way am I going again?
Right. I'm going to eventually get home because I know what I got to take to get here, to get there, read signs and all of that. But I would literally lose my mind just because this is easier.
Mm-hmm.
So that sometimes we use it. We don't even need it.
That's crazy to hear y'all say that, though, because I've seen you, Justin. I know you did. Y'all comedians have like photographic memories because y'all got to remember jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I don't know where the hell I'm going if I don't have no GPS. I got in this old chick car. She had OnStar, yo. You know
my God, yes. The button up the top.
Where the dude is like, make her laugh.
What? No. Oh, my goodness.
You got Average Joe coming out too, right?
Yeah, Ivis Joe, man. This was thank you so much. It was, man, this was a labor of love. It's a, like a darkly comedic drama. It takes place in Pittsburgh. This dude, he his father dies, and these mob dudes is looking for him, and the Joe, he don't know what's going on, but his father had left some money trying to figure out what's going on, and he had to make these decisions between, like, you know, family and money. But yeah, it's a super, like, it's funny, but it's dark. It's dark as hell. Like, we was leaving set miserable. Mm-hmm. Just from being like a comic, yeah. You gotta, you know, you can be good to do comedy, but every day just to leave murdering motherfuckers and lying and deceitful and heartache and losing people. And every day you leave, you know. That was the first time I started realizing, I understand how, like, people kind of break when they do movies and stuff. That was the very first time. Cause I used to be like, you ain't that deep into character. Yeah. But nah, like, if you keep doing that, and you have to constantly be that person to do that. Right. Like, that shit wear on you. Mm-hmm. I used to always think, like with Pac, they always say Pac became like
Bishop.
Yeah, he became Bishop from Juice or whatever. But at first, I never really kind of, like, believe that shit. But, yeah, and I saw Michael B. Jordan talk about how he had to go to rehab after...
Creed?
Fruitvale?
Nah, he said...
Or Fruitvale?
I think it was Fruitvale or it was... No, I think it was Wakanda.
Wakanda? Oh.
Yeah.
It was a Killmonger?
I don't know, but I remember him saying that he had to go to, like, rehab. I thought it was Wakanda. It might have been, but a lot of actors got to do that. Anyway... That's how that show was, man. We was down there. We was shooting in Atlanta, boy. It was like, we was doing like 16 hours, sometimes 20 hours, yo, shooting that shit. But we got a nice piece of work, and man, it's gonna be something. If y'all like murder and mayhem.
Absolutely.
And yeah. You gonna love this. This
you're lead.
Crazy,
for the
right?
First time.
I'm
for
excited.
The first time, right? Crazy,
that's
right?
Amazing. So saying, watching, looking at you talk about it, it's like amazing because even as comics, we can play any part. We can do anything. You know, I always think of Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And, you know, the comics.
Especially going from comedy to drama.
Yeah. Jim Carrey and, you know, even like what you just said, like how you 16 hours, you got to stay this person and you got to like, it's like you used to being... You know, but nope, it's different. But the fact that you can do it,
But it's different. Like I remember when I took the job, because usually I'm a type of cat. I go play my part and I go get my drop top and we rolling. You know what I mean? Like that's what I did on Blackish for 8 years. Right. I did my part and I was out. I was gone. When I signed on to do this and seen like 60 page scripts and I'm in like 90% of it and I'm looking
like I got a real job.
I'm like, I can't leave. They like, first one here, last to leave. You like, what? It was an adjustment because I still had other things going on and other businesses and other projects and trying to write that and do that and trying to do this.
Yeah,
I had to cut all that out. Just focus dead on this and get it done. But you got to watch what you pray for. Yeah. You got to know how to pray. Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't know how to pray. And, you know, that was one of the things that I learned, you know.
Yeah.
A person to ask, man, Lord, can I have a man? Can I have a woman? And they'll get you one and they won't have a job.
God, can you take this one
they
back?
They won't have a job. Right? Take it back. I forgot to ask for a job with that person. Yeah, so you got now to pray, man. But no, it was an amazing, amazing thing that shifted my whole mind and mind frame as far as like acting and taking on those responsibilities.
When it comes to comedy and drama, right? They always say it's a thin line. That's where the whole Tears of a Clown thing come from. So as a comic, you don't lean into trauma.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it wasn't like that at first. Another turning point when we was doing The Harder They Fall, I was like, I walked on set and was like, yeah, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? I'm funny and comedian. I remember Jonathan Majors and all them, they was just all sitting back and Delroy Lindo, they was all just quiet and just chilling. And I was like, hey, what's going on? I'm Dion, hey, so we gonna knock this out and they was just like, and then when we rehearsed, they was just like, so like in, like it was so real and so, it just was like, man, I remember Jonathan told me, he was like, man, you shouldn't, acting is the worst title for this job. This is what you should not be doing. Mm-hmm. You should not be acting. You should become. Yeah. You should become that person instead of acting. And so it made me be like, yo, really? So then I went back, changed my whole demeanor up, man, just from that conversation and came back and was like, all right, we gotta just become this person. Mm-hmm. And I remembered that all the time, just becoming. Right. You know, and so.
Isn't that dangerous though when you gotta unpack that person? Like when you gotta finally disconnect? Like,
You gotta go home by yourself. Don't go hang out and kick it and all that, you know, because you don't know when you're turning that off. That's if you get deep enough. Right. A lot of people don't really get like that because they don't go deep enough. But if you go deep enough, you really got to go home by yourself and you got to, like, just chill and, like, just have a moment to, like, just bring it down or whatever, you know. So, you know, I had to kind of learn that, you know, because I still was trying to kick it and go do stand up. I'll go set and then go do stand up, and I could see it in my stand up. I was up there gloomy as fuck, dude. Like, so if you ever see a lady and she, they'll be like this, just staring at me and shit. Like, I would just be like sad as hell.
Like, thank you, my name is Trevor.
Yes, right. I'm Sam. Good night, everybody. But you gotta cut it off, definitely.
What about when you're not in the mind state to joke? All work, like. Did you give yourself time to grieve after your mother passed? Huh?
So I am like still dealing with that. Like that's like really fucking with me still. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying because I was the only child, you know. Mm-hmm. No brothers, sisters, always. No father. Absolutely. Yeah, no, thank you, man. And I'm still like, that's why I try to stay as busy as possible. Because anytime I like have downtime or anything good happen, like that shit fuck with me because I be wishing she was here, that she could be here and be a part of that. And people out there that's going through this, they know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Like anything good happen to you, it's like a bittersweet moment, you know. Like even with the Color Purple coming out, I'm not like in it like that, but I just wish my mama would have been there to see that.
Sure.
And you know, it's things like that. Even Average Joe being the lead, it's like, I wish my mama was here so she can like see that and feel that, because there's stuff we talked about. Even getting my doctorate, for her to know that her son was now like doctor, like having a degree like that, is just, that would have like sent her, you know what I mean? So anytime these situations happen, it's like, it's nice, but I also just get into like, and people always be like, you need to go talk to somebody and something. And it's like, yeah, you can do that, but this just happened to me.
Yeah.
Right, you know what I mean? Absolutely. This like, I don't know nobody who has something like this can just happen to you and you go talk to somebody and you all good. If anybody's like that, they weird to me. Like, you should be able to grieve like you said, and you should be able to have these moments and don't rush people in these situations, you know, just be there for them, you know. And I had a lot of people leave me, like a lot of people leave me because I wasn't who they wanted me to be when I was good.
Your mom just passed. Come on.
I know, but everybody left.
Dang.
And it was weird. And people out there that's dealing with death, they know what I'm talking about. Like, people leave you because you change. And now I'm not the person that I was when they met me. And I understand that, but if you're a good friend and you really there, you're going to understand the severity of this, and you're going to understand that, you know, being the only child and not having nobody else and no mother, no father, nothing like that, and that's going to weigh on you. You basically in the world alone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You really don't have nobody else. I mean, I got family, cousins, and stuff like that, but immediate, it's It's hard, man. I go through it every day, and I try to be better. And you know, I remember this lady said this to me one day, and I was this guy. I was at this car lot, and I was sitting in the car, and I was crying, like looking at cars and shit, like because it just come whenever, you know. And I'm sitting there looking at the car, like, man, this is beautiful. And I'm crying. And sales guy came over, he was like, you all right? And I'm like, yeah. And I told him I lost my mom. He just started crying, just crying. And he was hugging me. And I'm just like, man, like, and he was like, he lost his mom like 10 years ago and it still affect him. Wow. And he was like, he's like, hold on. He said, you around 50 years old? And I'm like, yeah. And he was like, welcome to the club. And I was like, wonder what he was saying. He was like, yeah, anybody around 50, it's a club of people who lose their parents, because our parents is like 70 and 80 years old. Yeah. And he was like, and when you hit about 50, that's around the age that everybody.
Uncles, aunts,
wow. Uncles, mothers, aunts, mothers, fathers, everybody started going away. And he was like, and so it's that club. And he was like, welcome to 50. And I was just like, he was like, welcome to the club. And I was just like, damn. And I started thinking about it. And it's like that. And so I try to advocate, tell everybody, man, if you got your mother, your father, any of that, man, take pictures of them, video them, talk to them. Even if you don't get along with them, just be around them, man, because you just never know. Because my mom died suddenly. Right. Wasn't nothing wrong with her. Just... I came from audition calling her and they was like, she didn't make it. And I'm like, thinking that she was going to an appointment. And I was like, an appointment? It's like, nah, she ain't make it. And I'm like, make what? And I just could not understand that shit. Like, what do you mean she didn't make it? When he told me that shit, I just like, what? I was like, I just talked to her. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Yo, that shit was like wild. And I didn't even want to, like, even with my Netflix special, I didn't even want to do that.
Yeah.
That wasn't even something I was planning to do, but I got cornered into shooting that special on that day, you know, like the day that my mom died, September 10th, and I was looking for a spot. Usually when you tour, if you're about to shoot a special, you won't perform in that city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was going to do Philly. Philly was the city I was going to shoot my special in, but we were taking too long with the deal, and I ended up doing Philly, right? And I had nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And I wanted to shoot, I thought about New York, but I just was like, you gotta be from New York in order to do New York. You know what I mean? Like, it's, New York is just different. You know, it's like, you gotta be from there. But when it came around to me shooting a special, Netflix was like, all right, you gotta shoot in September. And I was like, make sure it's at the end of September, because I knew I couldn't shoot around a year later from the day my mom passed. They came back not even knowing. They was like this, yeah, we got the venue. I'm like, man, let's do it. I was like, what day? They was like, September 10th. And I was like, I said, nah. I was like, I ain't going to do it. Then about days later, my mom was like, you know what? Don't even mourn like that. Like, celebrate her. Shoot on that day. Dedicate this to her and celebrate her. Because when people pass, man, you have to, like, make them live through you.
Of course. Yeah.
Even if it's a password. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you get, if you set a password and you put their name in every day, that's making
every day. Yeah, that's right.
They with you every day. You know what I mean? And so I was
I hope
like,
you just didn't give up your password.
No, I did not. I did not. I ain't got my password. No, but yo, and I just was like, man, I'm gonna shoot it, and I shot it like on that day. But I also was trying to show people and teach people that. With comedians and entertainers, even y'all, people don't understand we got problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when we performing, you never know what that comic is going through. Mm-hmm. So that was the whole deal with my Netflix special. It was that I wanted to perform without telling nobody what was going on.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the special, let them know I was up here rocking with y'all. You're not even knowing what I was going through. I had just cried right before I walked out on stage. I was backstage, wiping my eyes, took a deep breath and walked out there, performed the whole special with them not even knowing that this was like the 1 year anniversary of my mom's death. And I wanted them to see that us performers, we had to put aside whatever we going through.
Yeah.
Even with y'all, man, y'all gotta come here and work.
Every day.
Every day. And the more family you got, more problems you got.
Yeah.
And so if you got six kids, you got six sets of goddamn problems. Then you still got to come here and work. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted that special to show that, hey, while y'all see me up here performing or whatever, and without even saying nothing at the end of it, I want you to know this is what I was going through this wow. entire mm-hmm. time that I was filming this wow. and shooting this. And doing it in Brooklyn was like, they showed so much love, but I was so scared. I ain't gonna even lie, because I ain't know what Brooklyn I was gonna get. I ain't know if yeah. it was gonna be Biggie Brooklyn or gentrified Brooklyn or righteous Brooklyn. Righteous Brooklyn, if I said bitch, they was like, brother, come on now. Nah, like, the material ain't working. Yeah, yeah. You be like, man, I ain't mean it like that, brother. Right. Like, you
now
know,
you're explaining
now you gotta explain what you meant. And, yeah. Make the word B-I-T-C-H mean something else. Yeah, yeah, it was too much or whatever. Yeah. But collectively, everybody came out and rocked. But yeah, that whole experience was something else. And like I said, I'm still dealing with anybody out there dealing with yeah. grief, man. Don't be afraid. I know you're a man or you're a woman, you're a boss and all this other shit, man. Let that shit out. Mm-hmm. Grieve. Learn how to grieve, because mm-hmm. it ain't going to stop. Just learn how to do it, control it, and keep it moving and make sure that they live through you.
You said something yeah. powerful that I would like for you to talk about, just because that's something I struggle with. How do you show up as a friend when somebody has somebody that they lose that's close to them, like a parent or significant other? Like, what would you have wanted your friends to do in that moment?
So if I'm now different and we ain't buying bottles and kicking it and I ain't in a club, and I'm in a club with you, but I'm daydreaming mm-hmm. and I'm zoned out and I ain't helping mm-hmm. you pull all the women in the club and all that shit or whatever. If I'm boring to you, I'm not what you was. If you're a friend, you're gonna be like, man, let's get out this club.
Yeah. Right.
Let's go chill. Let's go get you together. Let's go chill.
Yeah.
If you're any way different, even if I'm snappy, even if I'm not understanding, if I don't hear you correctly or any of that, understand that I wasn't normally like this.
Right.
So therefore you have to know that there's some kind of issue going on with me, right?
Yeah.
So therefore you have to channel that and understand that and get to know who I am now mm-hmm. or who I'm about to be mm-hmm. because now I'm embarking on a new normal mm-hmm. and that's what everybody has to do. They have to embark on a new normal.
That's
at
a true
this
friend.
Point
yeah
absolutely yeah. And once a true friend understand that, yo, he's embarking on a new normal mm-hmm. and I have to be here to learn that new normal in order to be there for them,
right.
That's real.
You know what I mean? So once a person understands that, mm-hmm. and they'll be there, they won't leave you, and yeah. they're gonna be there right. and they're gonna help you out, and they're not gonna leave because all of a sudden you don't understand them and all of that, and it's like mm-hmm. it's so whack or whatever. Yeah. And I lost not only did I lose my mother, I lost like other family members and friends. And so it was very, and I'm still in that kind of lonely spot right mm-hmm. now, you know, but it's a lot better because I'm working and I got all these other projects
yeah.
coming out and about to pop and bubble and all that. Dope. And so it's taking up my mind frame and, you know, me working on a whole new hour to tour with and all yeah. of that. So, you know, I'm not feeling as left out right. and lonely no more because, you know, I got a lot going mm-hmm. on. But as a friend, mm-hmm. that's what a friend does. A friend understands that you changed, and they're going to change with you.
Yeah.
And they're going to be there for you. And they're going to find out how are you now, find out what makes you happy now, yeah. what makes you sad now, you know, and they're going to be there for you.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? But falling back, and it's a selfish move a lot of people go, because they go, oh, you're not making me feel comfortable around you, or I,
right,
and now it's about them,
yeah,
and not you,
and not you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a tripped out situation. I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the friends that I do have, man, we've been rocking, and you know, we having a ball, and we gonna keep it moving.
We appreciate you, brother. We love you, brother.
Man, I love y'all, too, man. And I thank y'all, man, for this platform. I hate that it got serious like this.
Nah,
and
nah.
Comedians always give the best conversations.
No. It's real conversation.
It can be funny and it's serious. I love that.
Yeah,
y'all the most balanced people.
And I appreciate y'all, man. And y'all keep doing what y'all doing. Y'all are very, I just want to say, y'all are very powerful. more powerful than what y'all even probably think and know. And I want y'all to understand that and keep doing good with the positions y'all
thank
got.
You, man.
Thank you, brother.
Average Joe premieres June 25th on BET Plus. And thank you, brother, for joining us again.
Thank you so much, man. Y'all check it out.
Deion Cole.
It's Deion Cole. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.